At the core, it has always been about these fundamental conflicts between two very different set of values.
Hong Kong pro-democracy advocates meet members of Congress in Washington. It's Wednesday, September 18th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, orphaned Pakistanis find a home. The business of adaptation to change. Unhealthy health care. And U.S. leadership still lives. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Prominent Hong Kong activist Joshua Wong urged U.S. lawmakers Tuesday to support human rights and democracy in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory, declaring, quote, "the stakes have never been higher." Wong's appeal for U.S. support came during testimony at a hearing in Washington before the Congressional Executive Commission on China to review developments in Hong Kong and China's role in the political crisis there. Wong was joined by Hong Kong celebrity activist Denise Ho, who described harsh police treatment of some of the protesters.
On August 21st, police from the Special Tactical Unit charged into Prince Edward MTR station, beating up passengers randomly. They then shut down the station for 24 hours, refusing medical care for those who were injured, raising even suspicions of possible deaths in the station. Separately, now they will be charging in secondary school yards, shopping malls, and buses where young people merely dressed in black can be searched or even arrested without justification. In other words, merely being young is a crime in the police state of Hong Kong.
Wong told lawmakers he is sure historians will view 2019 as a turning point in Hong Kong's quest for human rights. He added his hope is that historians will celebrate the United States Congress for having stood on the side of Hong Kongers, the side of human rights and democracy. Hong Kong protesters have rallied outside the U.S. consulate in an effort to garner international support, but President Donald Trump's administration has maintained a low profile on the issue. Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida says China should respect Hong Kong's autonomy.
The U.S. government and other democracies need to hold Chinese and Hong Kong officials accountable for their failure to uphold their commitments. The United States and other nations have options precisely because Beijing benefits from Hong Kong's special status, a special status which has made Hong Kong an international financial center, built on the promises that Hong Kong made to the world, that China made to the world with regards to Hong Kong, which they now seek to break. China's leaders must either respect Hong Kong's autonomy or know that their escalating aggression will lead them to face real consequences, not just from the United States, but from the free world.
Denise Ho added her urge for the U.S. Congress to pass the Hong Kong Human Rights Democracy Act. She said it is not a plea for so-called foreign interference, but rather a plea for democracy. Ho warned that an erosion of the city's unique status would embolden China.
The protest began with an extradition bill, but at the core it has always been about these fundamental conflicts between two very different set of values. On one hand, the China model, which has no respect over human rights and the rule of law, and our hybrid city that has enjoyed these very freedoms for the most of its existence with a deep attachment to these universal values that the United States and other Western societies treasure. Hong Kong represents something unique in the world.
Ho added the failure of Hong Kong would make it a springboard for the totalitarian regime of China to push its rules and priorities overseas, utilizing its economic powers to conform others to their communist values. Beyond a Hong Kong government's promise to withdraw the controversial extradition legislation, dissenters have broadened their demands for the direct election of their leaders and police accountability. More than 1,300 people have been arrested since the demonstrations began in early June. The increasingly violent demonstrations have damaged Hong Kong's economy, which had already been weakened by the reciprocal trade tariff increases imposed by Trump and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping, as the world's two largest economies try to negotiate a new trade agreement. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Hong Kong activists urge U.S. lawmakers to support protesters and stand up to Beijing. Chinese envoy heading to U.S. to prepare for new round of trade talks. Australian cardinal convicted of child sexual abuse files new appeal. China and U.S. clash over Belt and Road in Afghan resolution. Cambodian government's request for meetings seen as intimidation. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more can be found when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. Also, stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. VOA Asia's Ira Melman spoke with the chairman of the Congressional Executive Committee on China, Congressman Jim McGovern from the state of Massachusetts, about Tuesday's hearings on the Hong Kong protests.
We are very concerned about what's happening in Hong Kong, we stand in solidarity with the protesters, you know, who are demanding that their rights be protected, that they have a say in their future. Over a million people have taken to the streets in Hong Kong. I don't think we've ever seen protests as large as this and as sustained as this. And they're fighting, for a cause that we share, the right to determine their future. I've been inspired by the protest movement, and their demands, I think, are reasonable. Any rational person would think that they're reasonable. We wanted to hear how we could be helpful in terms of paving the way for them to determine their own future. So that's why we held the hearing.
China says it's their own business, and they have been saying that the United States has taken part in this. Do you risk having that believed, you know, more by having hearings here in the United States?
Well, first of all, I mean, the notion that the United States or anyone else is responsible for the very organic protests in Hong Kong is just ridiculous. Secondly, China made a promise. They agreed to an international, they made an international commitment with regard to Hong Kong, that there'd be a one country, two state framework in which there would be autonomy for the people of Hong Kong. So they are breaking their word. And by the way, I think it's our moral obligation as the United States to be able to stand out loud and force square for human rights. I mean, this should be a centerpiece of our foreign policy. And many people in Congress, in fact, Democrats and Republicans, you know, are very concerned about China's heavy hand in Hong Kong. We wanted to make that clear. Quite frankly, I would like to see the Trump administration be more forceful and more deliberate when it comes to Hong Kong. But here in the Congress, Democrats and Republicans, my co-chair on the China Commission is Marco Rubio. We held a hearing today in which there was agreement that we wanted to stand in solidarity with the protesters. We believe they're on the right side of history. And it's not just us, but there are other countries around the world that are doing the same.
Doing what? What do you expect to happen? What do you expect the United States to do?
Well, one is I hope that the United States makes it clear that we're concerned about human rights and we're concerned about the human rights and the future of the people of Hong Kong. Secondly, I introduced a bill that would basically ban the sale of tear gas and other kind of security equipment to Hong Kong, which the security forces have been using against the largely peaceful protesters. Third, we're trying to pass the Hong Kong Democracy Act, Human Rights and Democracy Act. We're trying to update that. To make it clear that if Beijing were to use a heavy hand in Hong Kong, that there would be a consequence. And so, I expect that those bills will move expeditiously through the House and Senate. We'll have votes on them, hopefully in the not-too-distant future. But look, we wanted the people of Hong Kong to know that they're not alone. And ironically, if the protesters have their demands met, which, again, are reasonable, and rational demands, ironically, that would probably be the best thing for China as well, because, you know, we want Hong Kong to be economically successful. We want the future of the people of Hong Kong to be bright. And quite frankly, China has a lot of business interests in Hong Kong as well. So, you know, I think to the extent that these protesters are successful, I think everybody wins.
Congressman Jim McGovern, chairman of the Congressional Executive Committee on China, with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. Happening now in Asia, lawyers for Australian Cardinal George Pell have filed an appeal with the country's highest court to have his sexual assault convictions overturned. The 78-year-old Pell was found guilty last December of molesting two teenage choir boys in Melbourne's St. Patrick Cathedral in 1996. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us, as always, on VOA Asia. There are an estimated 153 million orphan children in the world, and in many places, life for these unwanted children is harsh and can be deadly. One foundation in Karachi, Pakistan, however, welcomes unwanted babies. VOA's Mohammed Saqib spent a day inside ED Foundation and filed this report narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
Rehana, who lives in ED Center of Karachi, doesn't know her parents. The foundation's records show she was placed in the center's cradle soon after her birth. Years later, she is now looking after children like herself in the same organization.
I don't know my father or my mother. My father and mother are the people here. These people have raised me, given me the most love, and none of us ever feel that we don't have anyone.
ED Foundation provides meals, education, and a place unwanted children can call home. It is a non-profit charity organization funded by donations from the public. The foundation runs 18 orphanages across Pakistan and has helped more than 8,000 boys and girls, along with the elderly and mentally disabled adults. But a recent report by the organization indicates that 90% of the babies left at their doorsteps are girls.
Your writing, mashallah, is very good.
Foundation's chairman Faisal Edi believes the main reason behind this is the cultural stigma of girls being burdened to families.
The girl's marriage dowry is often seen as a burden. So parents think not only do the girls not bring in income, the men in the family have to work harder to make extra money for their dowries.
Pakistan is not the only country facing child abandonment, particularly among baby girls. The solution, according to Professor Nabil Zuberi, is to push for gender equality and to empower women in the workforce.
When societies move from an agricultural and industrial age to a more digital age, intellectual abilities become far more important than physical. You can see now, societies that have accepted the digital age, gender balance has gotten much better.
Women rights activist and resident director of Aurat Foundation, Mehnaz Rahman, says, in order to bring change to women's image in Pakistan, the government must assist women and girls with basic necessities.
Government needs to provide free education, economic growth, and health facilities for women. It is important that women are made more aware of everything.
And while the ED Foundation is providing hope for many children, the UN says there are an estimated 4.2 million orphans in Pakistan. Despite numerous other charities and government help, there isn't nearly enough room for all of them. For Mohammed Saqib in Karachi, Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Coming up, the business of adapting to change. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news from VOA Asia. A UN fact-finding mission is calling for an international investigation into the dangers faced by 600,000 Rohingya, who the UN say are living under the threat of genocide in Myanmar's Rakhine State. The findings, which have been submitted to the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, NBA player Kobe Bryant went to China for the first time in 1998 to help teach a basketball clinic to about a dozen kids. Basketball wasn't a big deal in China then, but that was more than 20 years ago, and things have changed a lot since then, as we hear from Kelly Jean Kelly on today's VOA Asia Business Scene.
Basketball has become big business in China, and it is only getting bigger. Officials from the National Basketball Association say more than 300 million Chinese people play the game, and more than 500 million watched professional men's basketball games in the 2018-2019 season. The NBA will make at least $1.5 billion from streaming deals in the next 5 years. China also sees reason to invest in the NBA. Joe Tsai, the co-founder of the Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba, owns the U.S. team, the Brooklyn Nets. And the Chinese shoe company Anta has a 10-year deal with American player Klay Thompson for a reported $80 million. Basketball academies are also popular in China. Women's NBA player Han Xu became the first academy student to be drafted into a professional league. The prospects and profits for basketball in China appear to be going up. The former Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, along with Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, is calling for businesses to tackle the inevitable consequences of climate change, in addition to trying to stop it.
There has to be a revolution in the way we actually plan our cities, our infrastructure, and our private investment.
Gates and Bonn are part of the Global Commission on Adaptation. At a recent conference in Beijing, the group proposed investing $1.8 trillion between 2020 and 2030. Their targets include bolstering scarce water sources, improving infrastructure to withstand rising sea levels, and boosting agriculture to cope with droughts. Bond cited Bangladesh's response to two devastating cyclones in 1970 and 1991 as a good example of how countries can adapt to environmental threats. Bangladesh reinforced flood defenses, built shelters, and trained volunteers. Those efforts sharply cut the death toll in subsequent storms.
We have a phrase at the Global Commission on adaptation, delay and pay, or plan and prosper.
For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
This news break from VOA Asia, local authorities say more than half the tigers rescued 3 years ago from Thailand's notorious Tiger Temple have died. 86 of 147 tigers seized developed diseases that they were vulnerable to because of inbreeding at the sprawling complex where tourists were allowed close contact with the large cats. Get a large healthy dose of daily news at VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now in VOA Asia, the World Health Organization is calling for urgent action to end bad health care practices responsible for killing millions of patients around the world every year. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva on the findings of a report issued for the WHO for the first World Patient Safety Day.
People who fall ill go to their doctor or sign themselves into a hospital in the expectation of receiving treatment that will cure them. Unfortunately, in many cases, the treatment they receive will kill them. The World Health Organization reports 1 in 10 patients is harmed in high-income countries. It says 134 million patients in low- and middle-income countries are harmed because of unsafe care, leading to 2.6 million deaths annually. WHO notes most of these deaths are avoidable. Neelam Dingra Kuram is WHO Coordinator of Patient Safety and Risk Management. She says harm occurs mainly because of wrong diagnosis, wrong prescriptions, the improper use of medication, incorrect surgical procedures, and healthcare-associated infections.
But the major reason for this harm is that in the healthcare facilities on the system, there is a lack of patient safety culture, safety culture. And that means that the leadership is not strong enough, so lack of open communication, lack of systems to learn from mistakes and errors. So already suppose errors are happening and harm is taking place. If you don't learn from it, it's really a lost opportunity.
Dingrakoram says systems must be created where healthcare workers are encouraged to report mistakes and are not fearful of being blamed for reporting errors. Besides the avoidable and tragic loss of life, WHO reports patient harm leads to economic losses of trillions of dollars globally each year. It says medication errors alone cost an estimated $42 billion annually. On the other hand, WHO says a study in the United States finds safety improvement in patient care has resulted in estimated savings of $28 billion in Medicare hospitals between 2010 and 2015. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Some recent U.S. foreign policy decisions and talk of withdrawing from some historic U.S. military alliances make it seem like Americans want to back away from the global leadership role the U.S. has nurtured since World War II. Anna Rice reports new research tells a very different story.
Since Donald Trump has become the U.S. president, he has promised to stop allowing other nations to take advantage of the U.S. And the president has often accused U.S. allies of being some of the worst offenders.
For many years, we're losing billions and billions with these countries. And frankly, the countries that we do the worst with are the allies, our allies. Does that make sense to you? Our allies take advantage of us far greater than our enemies. And someday, I'm going to explain that to a lot of people.
President Trump has accused European allies of not paying their fair share of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization's operating costs, and even spoken about pulling out of the 29-member military alliance. But most Americans say organizations like NATO are valuable and say they want the U.S. to maintain an active role internationally, according to a survey by the Chicago Council Survey of American Public Opinion and U.S. Foreign Policy.
Large majorities of Americans continue to support the idea that those three pillars of American foreign policy, alliances, trade, democracy, and freedom, are fundamental to our ability to achieve our objectives. And importantly, that the United States should take a leadership role in bringing a world about in which those three areas are protected.
The survey found an overwhelming 74% of Americans believe military alliances like NATO make the U.S. safer. And half of all Americans say keeping U.S. military assets in other countries protects Americans back home. Still, Trump supporters remain solidly behind his more isolationist policies. However, while there is broad support for alliances, other international issues continue to divide Americans.
So the three big issues in the report that demonstrate a divide are on climate change, on immigration, and on China, where you see Republicans and Democrats in totally different places on those issues.
But analysts predict big changes as millennials take their place as America's largest voting bloc.
We'll see a big difference on climate change policy in particular. So it is not going to be a winning position for Republicans to have no climate change policy and Democrats to have a climate change policy, given that millennials, both Democrats and Republicans, put climate change at or near the very top of their concerns. And as that becomes an ever greater proportion of the voting public, it is highly unlikely that they will just shed those concerns.
Experts say the world is waiting to see how important the issue of U.S. global engagement will be to Americans who go to the polls in 2020 presidential election. Anna Rice, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. You'll find us on VOA Asia Facebook. And, of course, we're on our website. That's voanews.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us either on Facebook or send us an email, voaasia@voanews.com. We'd also like to thank everyone who is listening on the radio, U-Radio of Hatay University, FM 101.25 at Hatay University in Thailand. We're always glad to have you join us on our program. Come back again. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Cedric Franklin, managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, Kelly Jean Kelly, and Michelle Liu for getting us on Facebook today. I'm Jim Stevenson. Have a great day.